for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, June the 23rd, 1979. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds, summer camp meeting being held in Hot Springs, and this is the first service of the meeting. Chuck Flynn is the speaker of the evening.
Hallelujah, we praise thy name, we praise thy name. Thank you, Father. For ye have ordered your steps aright, and yea, my anointing that abides upon you shall lead you. Yea, the Lord thy God will hover over his word to perform it. Yea, I put my word within you, and the seed of it shall bring forth the fruit. Therefore I say unto thee, be strong and be loose and be set free. For thou shalt go forth in my name, and the anointing of my peace shall be with you. Yea, for the Lord sings songs of deliverance over thee, and I will bring you into my hand, and my authority is upon you, and the sword of my mouth shall be spoken through thy lips. For thou shalt see that the Lord will equip thee well. For the Lord has you in his pavilion for this hour, and he will instruct thee and prepare thee, for the hour of thy release is come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to look at Psalm 12. Thank you, musicians. We appreciate your faithfulness. I would like to say I appreciate Glenn and Irma, who have, through the years with others, I'm sure, but I've all so in, they impressed it upon me more than others, but this dedication of the offering or finances unto the Lord's work, even though it goes through our hands and pays other bills, what Brother Glenn prayed, I want you to take notice and begin to do that more with your own personal finances. Not only that which is given to the Lord, but every cent that comes through your personal family or business, dedicate that money to the Lord or church or whatever it is. Because when you pay your bills, that money is still sealed in the name of Jesus. Many times, I know the Christian television, we appreciate that's the major field today, that many millions of dollars of the body of Christ is flowing through. We thank the Lord for other major outreaches. But I tell you what, it's been 15 to 20 years now, we've been loosening that money for the Lord. And it's not some personality behind a tube. It's that God's people have loosed that money for God. And Dick Mills and many others, and Glenn and Irma and Brother Copeland and others throughout, and your pastor also, and all of us have been dedicating these things to the Lord. Hallelujah. And then when the ministry comes forth, praise God, it's there. Hallelujah. And the Lord has held the wealth of the wicked for the righteous. And we praise God for the anointing that breaks the yoke. So this week, we're going to believe God that this conference will be blessed abundantly. And the anointing of the Lord will bless financially and outreaches and advancements. We appreciate more than ever before. But this week, we've loosed this whole area. The land is loose. The message is very vital. It's where now you can almost pick out the locations where people can go and get delivered and set free. Not ought so to be, but that's the way it is for now. And I believe we should back those areas. Amen. And so I appreciate being part of a very unique anointing that we can praise God for. I want to talk about something that is pertinent, and it's from Psalms 12. And I want you to, then I'll go to John, the second chapter of St. John's Gospel. But just as a little introduction into the release weapons, I want to give you capsules from time to time in our messages of how to respond to the anointing of God and to release the weapons of the Lord that do a job. Now, first of all, Psalms 12, in the area of clapping of hands, we appreciate the clapping of hands is the extolling or appreciation that we have also to thank God and to appreciate what and who the Lord is. I want to give you a scriptural basis to the chief musician upon Sheminah. And that's Psalms 12 and the subtitle, to the chief musician upon Sheminah. Also, I want to correlate that with Psalm 6, to the chief musician on Neginoth. Neginoth, the string instruments, meaning the hands. Neginoth, string instruments upon Sheminoth in the eighth octave. So underline Psalm 6, Neginoth, the string instruments, and Sheminoth. Go over to Psalm 12. Underline the same. So you have here the string instruments or the ten strings, which is the embodiment now of the clapping of the hands in the individual instrument. We are the instruments of praise, and so the chief musician means to the champion of harmony. Put that in your notes, the champion of harmony. Here is the chief musician, therefore the what we call the harmony of the authority of the Lord is going forth at this hour. God is preparing our hearts, looseness in the minstrel anointing, to be in harmony with His creative word. So the chief musician is more than just an Old Testament phrase that had to do with their type of worship that really isn't connected too much with us. That's the way some people feel. But I want you to know when it says the chief musician, it means to the champion of harmony. The one who can harmonize with the creative word, become a champion in praise and victory to release the words that are spoken. You have to be backed up a little bit scripturally here by Elisha. Jehoshaphat the king and Ahab, I believe, the other king, they went to Elisha because the water was no more and the army was thirsty. And so the army was thirsty. They thought Elisha would just speak a prophetic word and it would come to pass. But he made the kings wait. He said, Elisha said, now get me a minstrel. And when they got a minstrel, and who could sing and praise the Lord, then Elisha begins to prophesy and loose the anointing of God. And he says, fill the valley full of ditches, do the work of the Lord. And as they went forth and filled the valley and prepared, in the morning the ditches were full of water. Hallelujah. And so the anointing of the Lord produces action within the children of the Lord, but it begins with a minstrel anointing. To the chief musician upon Sheminoth. Now, Sheminoth means the smiting. And the smitings is, and the ten string instruments, is that the hands, when they're smitten, is that you are saying, I believe in Calvary. I believe in the smitings of the Messiah Jesus, my Lord and my God. And when you clap your hands, you're saying, I know that Jesus has given of himself upon Calvary's cross. Satan has been destroyed of all of his power. Stripped is the best word. And stripped of all of his power, therefore, the anointing of the Lord is upon us. And it's in the eighth octave. The number eight is the number for the Messiah, and which is the anointed one. And also the number eight means, it's on the eighth day that circumcision of the male child was performed. And so the number eight means the cutting away of excess. and all types of backwardness or former teaching that would try to bind us from being free in the Lord. When you clap your hands, you're saying, I believe in the smitings of Calvary, and all demonic power has to leave. You bring them under subjection to the anointings of God and the glory of God. And Isaiah says the trees clap their hands. Isaiah 61 verse 3 said, we're the planting of the Lord. So when we clap our hands, we're saying we expel all types. We believe in the anointings of God, and the Lord Jesus through his cross has set free and destroyed all the attacks of the enemy. And as this is one of your greatest weapons of warfare in praise and victory, not only praising, but you're expelling all demonic activity, releasing yourself to praise and to come on in to God's victory. Hallelujah. And then it's cutting you loose to be free. Hallelujah. So let's clap unto the Lord, and anyone that's upon our heart, just mention them. Any circumstances that might be prevalent in your heart or a burden to you, it's gone in Jesus' name. For we're here to worship, to come into the anointing of God, and that which you have to do with, that you've left to appear before the Lord. Isaiah 34:24 says, when you appear before the Lord, I'll let no man desire your land. That means steal from you or molest or try to take that which is rightfully yours. Isaiah 62 says, that which you've labored for, you're going to sit at your table, and the son of the stranger will not take it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's clap unto the Lord. A creative clap. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. You're set free. We're free to worship the Lord. You're set free to flow in the anointings of God. Handala Maria, Handala Mahandala Maria. Praise the name of the Lord. We love you, Jesus. We're free with the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Riyala Marandala Vasha. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord is training us to release the weapons. My wife, when she praying, and when I'm here clapping, I tell you, I just feel the whole house is set free. Hallelujah. That's a tremendous weapon of our warfare. The chief musician, the champion of harmony, upon the smitings of Calvary, sets us free. Now let's look at John, the second chapter. And Jesus, doing something here that about three times, G. Campbell Morgan says that he accomplished in his ministry cleansing the temple. Now for the tape, I would like to suggest the title of The Zeal of the House of the Lord. If you want to put Hath Eaten Me Up, fine. But The Zeal of the House of the Lord Hath Eaten Me Up. Let's begin in chapter 2 of St. John's Gospel with verse 13. So verse 12 reads, it's the beginning of miracles, and then the marriage of Cana. And after this, he went down to Capernaum, and he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Verse 14 says, and found in the temple. I want you to circle, underline, found in the temple. He is continually to seeking and moving within his temple to cleanse, to bring it to its full potential. Therefore, as he sought those things in the earthly temple, so he is moving in our temples, and the Holy Ghost within us is continually to cleanse and to get out the wood, hay, the stubble, and to abide. We're the resting place of the Lord. He found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, the changers of money sitting. Now money was began to be printed in 600 B.C., it was printed, first of all, by hand. Later on, the images of certain nationalities were proclaimed on the, printed on the money. And the banks were in the temples, the Greek temples and other temples, was the type of banks that we know today. That's the only banking they had. And so this was the reason or the merchandising. Not only that, but they mixed that with the worship and the doves and the sacrificial animals. So it was mixed in with the society and the social functions of that day. Jesus, when he went through the temple, he found the changers of money sitting, and when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, circled those that sold doves. It's significant that he would give them this priority. Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Please circle that. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Psalm 69 and verse 9. Jesus is cleansing now the temple here. And by verse 17, I want you to put Psalms 1. Correlate these scriptures and learn the procedure of Bible study. When you read a portion of scripture, begin to relate the thoughts that would bring understanding to you. Someone has said that the Bible is its own commentary, rightfully so. But Psalms 1 flows in with this particular portion of scripture very beautifully. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Also, the sixth chapter of John. How do we work the works of God? John 6, they ask. And then they begin to have a discourse on the manna that came down. And Jesus was telling them he is the living manna. And he says, except ye eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. And even though they were in the number of the multitude that were fed by the Lord Jesus, the multitudes that had been fed by him want to work the works of God, but immediately when he begins to deal with them on the basis of his person, that they must eat of him and his blood and his flesh, what does that mean? It startled them, and they turned. The multitudes turned and left him. He turned to his disciples and said, will you also leave me? Many times we've looked at that sixth chapter, and we still, it's a hard chapter. Well, it just isn't flowing to its height. You can't just sort of jump through and praise God through that chapter. It's a tremendous truth. Will you also leave me? The tragic events of that sixth chapter of John. What produced such a exodus, let's say, of the crowd that wanted the fish and they wanted to be fed and the bread and to see the miracles that he produced? And yet, he said, we want to work the works of God. We love to work the works of God. But Jesus said, now when you begin to partake of me, when you partake of me, that's when you work the works of God. And they couldn't take that. They turned and left. And so Jesus said, will you also leave me? And Peter said, Lord, to whom else can we go? You alone have what? The word. See, now don't forget that. You've got to tie that in. You alone have the words of eternal life. It's the words that are vital and permeating, and we must eat the life, hallelujah, of the flesh is in the blood. And we drink of his blood, and there's the revelation that the world has missed, and the body of Christ seemingly has missed the full potency and the full glory of the revelation of the blood. Not only just the air of, okay, I lick you with salvation and get by the best way you can. Pray for me that I'll hold out to the end. And this looks like the end, my friend. Oh, the devil's been after me all day, bless his holy name. Some of our testimonies are just over the hill. But he said, I brought you out to bring you in. Now the thrill and the impact and the thing that the Holy Ghost has impressed upon me, I've been praying for many months. God, show us the potency in the blood of Jesus that will move and thrill and deliver and empower the body into the army of the Lord for this time. God, don't just let me get a new thought from your word to have somebody say, well, oh, isn't that good teaching? We want more than that. We've got to drink of his blood. We've got to eat of his flesh. There will be pressures if you and I in our own way. Oh, sure, some types of flashiness and my, the crowds will grow. The crowds will come. But oh, to be set free. Oh, to have the anointings. Hallelujah. And God isn't, well, it just seems like that the Lord is really putting such a hunger in his people today and in your life. Let's bring it down personally. That's why you're here. If we went over every little event that caused you to come, it wasn't easy. But bless God, you had a driving. Deep has called on the deep. And obstacles, let them come. They haven't stopped you. You knew there was something you want to attain in God. We don't even know why we come, but there's something for us. This is God's strategic hour. Not that this particular conference has it all, but bless God, there's a hunger within the lives of God's people. Everywhere, we want to touch heaven. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus. You know, Peter gives us the clue now. He says, you alone have the words. To whom else can we go? You alone will produce the blood. I'm not stretching Scripture. I feel that what Peter was saying, you alone. You know, later on, Paul said, well, now, we have not striven with the blood. What Peter was bringing out there, he says, you alone have the words of eternal life. There was that revelation that come through the drinking of the blood that produced life. And as this is involved in relationship to the zeal of the house of the Lord hath eaten me up. The zeal that God is putting within his people and within your life and mine is this fact. The blood of Jesus, put this in your notes please, has two principal emphasis, two parts. Or principle number one and principle number two. In studying and asking God this and investigating the scriptures, and there of course could be others that God would lead in different ways, but I feel the two principal teachings of the blood of Jesus or the revelation of the blood is redemption, which we're familiar with, and proclamation. Now, we all understand the word redemption. It means that there's a force that is applied to the marketplace. To redeem means you force your way into the marketplace and you redeem the purchased possession. And that's what Jesus did. He forced his way in. He come in by force, by the authority of the Lord, and fasting, praying, conquering Satan. And through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, he hath redeemed us by his precious blood. Hallelujah. He's paid the price. Redemption costs something. Redemption is forceful. To redeem means that there is a determination. That's why he said, now, Father, if it be thy will, not my will, but thy will be done. But Lord, to drink this cup. And he wanted that proclamation settled that this was the cup that he would drink. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So the tremendous effort of the blood of Jesus that it came forth from his being. The blood of Jesus was more than just a human life. It was the eternal heart of God. Therefore, by the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus was uncontaminated by sin. It was pure. And the Lord God put his life, his heart. Therefore, his Son had the eternal blood that was not contaminated by sin. And the blood of Jesus is at the mercy seat in heaven tonight. The power is in the blood. Amen. And the power of that authority of the blood redeems, forgives you of sin, covers us, not only as a covering, but it gives us a fresh identification. We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. We're set free into new life and forget sin. So we're redeemed by the blood. And we could go on and on there. The next is the proclamation. The second principle of the blood is a revelation that the Lord began to reveal and speak to my heart that shows us exactly what is happening here, is that the proclamation is the blood speaking forth from the life of the believer. Not only does the blood cleanse you of all sin, but the blood of Jesus speaks forth better things than that of Abel. We get from Hebrews the clue that the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of Jesus speaks in his person. When Abel's blood spoke from the ground, it spoke of murder, hatred, vengeance. But when the blood of Jesus speaks from the living ground, from you and I, it speaks of love and power and glory and forgiveness. Hallelujah. And the blood of Jesus is the anointing of God that is applied in redemption and proclamation. So therefore, the man, the believer, has a natural bloodstream, and we have a spiritual bloodstream. The authority of the blood flowing in your life as you speak it up. See, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So the life of the Spirit is also in the blood. And the spiritual life, just like here is the woman with the issue of blood, she has tried all of the man-made functions to heal her. Now she touches the hem of his garment, and when she touches him, she is made whole. So it is with the church that has a spiritual bloodstream. When they touch praise, the anointing of praise within them, the menstrual anointing, releases the gifts of the Holy Ghost, which is prophecy, words of knowledge, and every gift of the Holy Ghost, the miracles of God, the faith of the Lord, the discernment, all of the fruits and gifts of the Spirit are released in a person through vocalizing. And when you speak with your lips the authority of the Lord, life comes forth. That's why proclamation is the revelation of the blood of Jesus. You have the word. You have the life that we need, Peter says. Hallelujah. To do the works of God, Jesus said, you've got to have my life. You've got to eat of my flesh. And this is the flesh, the word of the Lord. He's the living manna. And when you read and know the word of God, you eat of his flesh. And his blood means you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You begin to speak and proclaim the anointings of the word, and the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit begin to be energized in your life, and you come into the anointing of the glory of God, and others eat of you. And the house of the Lord is strong, because we partake of one another, and it's Jesus among us. This is the zeal of the house of the Lord, is the glory of God through the anointing of the Holy Spirit that moves within our life. The zeal of thine house. Jesus said, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by storm. You're set free by the proclamation of the authority. And praise God, the Lord has moved within us with His zeal. Now, I always thought that when the word said in Peter, now judgment shall begin at the house of the Lord. I always thought, well, Lord, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to have a list of everybody that I feel you need to whack. Here's your list. Boy, I'll be glad when judgment comes and straightens out this bunch, you know. Anybody have another list? It's not necessarily that way. Of course, there will be a definite cleansing. Of course, there will be the movings. But Jesus is not just coming to dead-end streets of negativism every time He says something, every time something is proclaimed in the Word of God. Even though there was darkness in Egypt, there's light in Israel. Even though there's fallings of ways and different types of arrogance and pride and all types of things that God's dealing with in His people and the integrity of many leadership needs to be dealt with. And my, how God needs to bring forth the royal priesthood and the holy priesthood. 1 Peter 2:5, the holy priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9, the royal priesthood. I'll touch on that later. But it was not until in San Diego with a friend of Brother Lee Ellingworth's and mine. In fact, probably Brother Ellingworth sparked it. I don't know. But Brother Dow was telling me one day, he said, you know there where it speaks of the fence, brazen wall? I want you to turn to 15th chapter of Jeremiah. And this was opened up to my heart by more experienced and older than myself ministries, but those men that had really preached for years and knew some of the tremendous eye-openers of God. Let's respect others and their revelations and their experiences, for it will certainly help us. In Jeremiah 15, how I learned from God's people, an anointed testimony especially, or an interpretation or a word of the Lord, my, how it really quickens us. And this was one of those times. Verse 19 of Jeremiah 15. Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. Please underline that. This is a position that God is bringing His people in at this hour. Now notice the crisis of Jeremiah's day. There had to be a unique word come, and there was not the respect of the word even. And so God was dealing with Jeremiah, but He said, Jeremiah, even though many have not received the word, and there's a crisis over Jerusalem and Israel, but I want you to know that I want you to stand before me. This is why we're here, to stand before the Lord. It's like we're at attention. Oh, praise God. We're not here just to listen to others teach or speak. Necessarily, that's going to all help us to release ourselves, but we are here to stand at attention before the Lord. Your heart is at attention before the Lord. You want Him to check you over and get you ready for His mighty hour. Hallelujah. This is our finest hour. The army of the Lord, the trumpeter anointing, these things will be passed out in your life, and God will begin to hand out the weapons and the anointings of the Lord while you're praising, while you're studying your word. You're being equipped this week. I loose the weapons of our warfare. I loose you to come in to a greater anointing than you've ever known before. You will not just dwell in that which is of the past, but you will go on, and this week you will come into a higher dimension in God, and you'll know who the captain of the host of the Lord is. You'll not be like David and just say, well, Lord, he inquired of the Lord in 2 Samuel 5. And God said, okay, go out against them. And he went out against the Philistines. And my, David said, it was easy. Oh, how the wave of God broke on David. It seemed like he said, we just took our swords and it was easy. We just went after those Philistines. Hallelujah. And he said, David was the first surfer. He said it was a wave that just backed us up. We just rode that wave Hallelujah. Get this old boy, just beat those guys right in line. What a great victory. But it wasn't just a momentary thing. David called the place Baal Perazim, which means the God of bursting forth. It's like a dam that bursts and the glory of God's with you. Oh, hallelujah. There'll be times like that, hallelujah, that the wave of God just carry you along. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. But the next time the enemy came up, same place, well, David, he just sharpened up his sword. He said, well, I know, praise God. Oh, we got such a good victory. Now that's my ministry. My ministry now is to teach on faith or stretch legs. That's my ministry. I'm having success in that area. God said, you hush and stand over there among the mulberry trees. I've got some other guys that can teach on faith. They don't have to be from Texas. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that's fine, but that might not. God wants us to be balanced. He wants you to be yourself, but be on the anointing. Jesus was the only one that ever let me be myself. Everybody else tried to brush with their toothpaste or do something else. The world is in a competitive drive. We got so many radar range ministers and leaders, you put them in 3 minutes, they're ready to go. But praise God for the anointing that brings forth the maturity. God says, well, David, you go over there among the mulberry trees. Joab, the mighty man, said, David, where are you going, man? The enemy's this way. Folks, when you bring in and move in deliverance or any other area, let's keep ourselves in the word of the Lord and balance ourselves in the full program of God. Amen. These men who will come and they're divinely led of the Lord to set you free, but if you just wallow or stay in one area like David, all, you know, some guys, all they can do is stretch legs. You have a headache or organ problems or something. Well, let's stretch your legs. But see, we're now, now there are times when that's the thing to do. I don't mean to minimize, but I have to say that so that we'll all know what the Lord is saying. Let's be diligent with the full body. Hallelujah. The full body. Eat of my flesh. Eat of my body. Discern one another. Discern the body means respect other ministries. 1 John says, Diotrephus, love the preeminence. He wouldn't respect anybody else's ministry. John said he won't even accept us. He said, I'm going to take care of it. So here's what the Lord is saying. Complete authority. Yes, the enemy is important. But no, praise God, just because you've had a real good victory in an area, continual, I thank God, there's a continuing flow. Hallelujah. And the men of authority in this area, how precious and tender it is to keep going back unto the Lord and asking the Lord, well, what is there authority for this? Well, yes or no. Why? And begin, keep yourself tender in the Lord to know He's directing your life, not that you have the ministry. Keep your ministry flowing between you and the minister. Hallelujah, which is Jesus. The key is Elijah. He called down fire from heaven. He had the secret to keeping himself balanced in the power of the Word. The way he called down fire from heaven is one of the most greatest revelations of tenderness, I thank the Lord, in this tremendous prophet of fire. He prayed something that's amazing. He didn't say, okay, now everybody watch this. Hey, you guys with the cameras, this is my better side. You got the tape on? Okay. We're going to call down fire from heaven. Elijah prayed on behalf of people. And if you'll notice carefully, he just prayed. He said, Lord, let the people know that you've turned their hearts back to you. Let the people know that you've forgiven them. Let the people know that their hearts are turned back to you. Hallelujah. And God sent the fire. You and I, when we go forth and let the people know that they're forgiven, they're set free, the fire of God falls upon them. Amen, the authorities there. But he didn't say, Lord, let the fire fall. He said, let them know that their hearts are turned back to you. And when the fire fell and the altars were licked up, oh, the glory of God was there. And then Elijah said, I hear a sound of abundance of rain. I hear such a sound of abundance of rain. Tell Ahab it's going to rain. He began to speak the prophetic word. It's going to rain. Boy, you know if anybody pulls fire down from heaven, you're going to listen the next time they say something. So here it's going to rain, and everybody, my, they're scurrying off of Mount Carmel. I think Ahab picked him up a little lunch, gets in his dual-barrel chariot. The servant, Elijah's servant, going around picking up everything. Let's go, master. And his master, Elijah, is walking on up just above the knoll there on Mount Carmel. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but it sure intimates this. That, well, where are you going, master? This is what could have been said. Master, where are you going? You said it's going to rain. Let's get out of here. But here's what Elijah did. He went on up to the knoll there, the top of Mount Carmel, looking over the Mediterranean Sea. He puts his face between his knees, gets down on the ground, his hands over his face, and he begins to pray. Oh, God, send the rain. Oh, God. Oh, Jehovah, send the rain. What is this? What kind of deal is this? Isn't the man confident when he speaks prophecy? Isn't the man got that zeal and got that determination? Elijah, that's not much faith, man. I don't know about that. You sure you're confident in your own ministry? You've spoken something, and yet you're praying about it. He says, oh, God, send the rain once, twice, three, four, five times. Servant, is there any change? No, there's no change. I don't see any change. Overlooked the Mediterranean. Has it rained? What, 3.5 years? Oh, God, send the rain. 6 times. Is there any change? No, there's no change. But you've spoken it. Why are you praying about it? He's giving the gift back to the Father. Oh, Lord, send the rain. It's not lack of confidence. It's communication with the Father who will teach him, who will lead him, who will be with him. When the crowds leave, he'll still have communication with the Father. And it'll keep him from arrogance. It'll keep him from depending on his own ministry. That's the way you give the gift back to God. And after you've prophesied and interpreted and been used in the ministry of music or the preaching of the word or in anything at all that has brought a blessing to God's people, back it up with prayer and praise. Thank you, Lord. Lord, send them. I've spoken to the Lord. I knew the anointing of your voice was within me. The blood of authority was within me and said, it's going to rain. And I said, get Ahab, even the king. Tell him I prophesied it. But I'm going to back it up with prayer. And Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, but he prayed. And it didn't rain, and he prayed again, and it rained. That's, James brings it right down to you and I. We're able to accomplish the very same thing. Rain, whatever you want. But it takes that key is back it up. Says, oh God, send the rain. You keep the anointing flowing in your life. Will not allow any other bondage to come your way. And when you're set free, you'll stay free. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the authority and praise God for divine touch and deliverance. Hallelujah. But keep ourselves balanced and going on with God. Hallelujah. He brought you out to bring you in. He set you free to have you proclaim the word of power. To come into his anointing and speak, thus saith the Lord. And go on, hallelujah, to the anointings of God. This is why the revelation of the word is power. The ministry that interprets or moves in the gift of the Holy Spirit is not just for that person, but it is to release the body of Christ so that others may live and eat and move and have their being by the anointing of God. The very revelation of the body of Christ is therapy. This is found in Matthew 24, verse 45. The household of God, where the servant is made the ruler of God's household and will bring forth the fruit or the meat. And the word household is therapeuo in the Greek, T-H-E-R-E, therapeuo, P-E-U-O. Therapeuo is where we get our anatomy term, therapeutic. When by the help of someone else, we have a therapy. We're given a healthy experience by therapy. We're embraced. We're enlarged. We're made happy. Some people, just by shaking their hand, they're a therapy unto us. Amen? You just, hallelujah. They can say hallelujah and praise the Lord, and they're a therapy. Or when they pray, what a tremendous therapeutic anointing is upon them. That's what the body is to be in the earth. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Jesus said, we're the therapy of the world. Hallelujah. The word household is therapy. And the word for healing of the nation in Revelation 22, verse 2, for the leaves of the trees or for the healing of the nations. And the word healing and the word household are the same Greek word, therapeuo, which means therapy. When you and I praise the Lord, when we're setting the anointing of God upon us with praise and glory, we're commanding many to be set free. Each one of you are getting set free. The power of deliverance and authority of God goes out to other nations. And there are other ministries being raised up because of the power of God being set free in this conference. If it were just this conference, we'd be of all men most miserable. But the authority of God released here is raising ministries, and others are being set free. South America, Europe, in the Iron Curtain countries, in the Orient. God's raising up people, and the Lord will touch them and teach them His anointing. Because we're a therapy unto them by the Spirit. And I prayed too many times in the unknown tongue. And my tongue, my prayer language will change from Spanish dialect to a Oriental, then to an African type of a chant. I believe I prayed around the world. And you have too, I believe. In many cases, the Holy Ghost upon us, we have prayed and we're a therapy. And when we move in praise, and when we move in our support even, it is a therapy to others to release them into prosperity and the anointing of the Spirit. We're a therapy. In other words, we're the healing of the nation. It's not something that just you and I will be. We have a bless me club. Hallelujah. The husband is a therapy to the wife. The wife is a therapy to the husband. Parents are a therapy of long days for their children as we respond to each other. When the husband is the savior of his body, Christ said in Ephesians 5, he said that the Lord Jesus, husbands love your wives, as Christ loved the church, and who was a savior of the body. That is a strong term. That does not mean redemption. It's not a large S. It's a small S. It means as Christ is a savior of his body, savior, it means he does not allow that to come upon his people which they're unable to bear. So is the husband with his wife. He guards his wife. She is his ammunition storehouse because she has upon her that peculiar release of her lips. Her mouth can set that whole family free. It's up to the husband to guard her mouth and guard her lips so that she'll not come down to her last weapon. If he allows her, to, as Jesus said, I'm the savior of my body. I'm not going to let my people go through that which they're unable to bear. And they'll be weary and well doing. So it is with the husband. Love your wives. Watch out for them. If there's a tendency there, and you know just exactly... I can tell when my wife sets the table whether I'm in for it or not. If their strength and their reserves are down to their last weapon, get in there and help them with the house. Help them with things. Why? Jesus said, husbands, love your wife as I love the church. I'm not going to let more come upon her than she's able to bear. Why? You're preserving her voice. You're preserving, he's the high priest of our confession. He'll not let our confession, Hebrews 3:1, he doesn't want our confession to be murmuring and complaining and discouraged. He hovers over our confession. He's the high priest of it. That's what gives him the weapons to go to the Father. He presents our confession to the Father. He watches over us that our confession does not be weak and is not weak. So it is with a husband with his wife. Honey, is there anything I can do for you? Cover with love. Because if you allow her to get weary and well do so, she's down to her last weapon, which is her mouth, you're of all men most miserable. And boy, she can build you up with it or she can shred you. You'll just crack all over and fall in a heap. And there's a lot of jokes about a woman's mouth. But God is ordaining. The Lord said in 1 Peter 3, verse 4, he said, let the woman put on an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Because it's in the sight of God of great price. Now, there's only three things God calls great price. His precious blood, the pearl of great price, his people, and a woman's mouth. Because she's a type of the church. Amen. Her mouth is her, the authority. She can put peace. She can put the angels of God all over her family. Zechariah 2:5 says, I'm going to be a wall of fire around her dwelling, and the strength of God in the midst of her. In other words, I'm going to put the angels of God around her. It's the words of life, and this is exactly what the Lord is saying. And a man who said, well, I wish you'd quit nagging. Brother, it starts with you. You better start providing. Let's hear a few amens. Amen? Hallelujah. Of course, I don't want to forget my full example is the church. But it is. It's a very vital thing that we would flow with that comforting power as we guard one another in the Lord, as we guard the body of Christ. Our lips are very important. Our strength. The weapons of our warfare. You've got reserve strength. Hallelujah. And when I am out traveling, I try to get something for my wife. I take her back something that she enjoys the traveling and that which I've experienced because that makes her enjoy those things. And then when she go with me, it's better because she's there with me. That's why Jesus says, he said, I want to give you my gifts. I want to give you my authority. And that is the seal of the gifts and the powers of his anointing. All right? Now, this is what he's saying. The zeal of the house of the Lord hath eaten me up. The gifts of anointing, the bringing forth of the power of God that sets many free. And therefore, you eat of my flesh and you drink of my blood. It's a therapeutic anointing among you. Let's turn to Psalms 1 as we start to close this portion. This will keep the anointing of God balanced upon us. We back up the gifts of the Lord. Every now and then I'll prophesy over somebody. In Christ for the Nations recently, last week, we had 3.5-hour sessions of just prophesying continually. For 3.5 hours, and the next day was just almost a little over 2.5 hours. And I was really encouraged. It seemed like a fresh anointing has come upon me in the last few days. And I'm really thrilled with what the Lord is doing. And Brother Joe was telling me of God's fresh dealings. And Brother Lee Ellingwood and many of us, we're here to learn as we all present ourselves around God's Word. Hallelujah. Beautiful thing God's dealing with every one of us. We haven't gone this way before, but hallelujah, he's teaching us. his ways. Amen? Psalms 103, verse 7, he showed Moses his ways. Hallelujah. So Psalms 1 is one of the vital portions, and it's so familiar how we've hit that from every angle. And I was just looking at this the other day. Now, for instance, verse 1, put down Ephesians chapter 1 to 6, or the book of Ephesians, because this is the positive. Now, when you're preaching or when you're teaching or sharing with others, if you will relate verse 1 to the book of Ephesians, you'll see exactly the positive area of the believer. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In the book of Ephesians, it tells us how to walk in love, walk worthy of the vocation of which we're called, know what it means to walk circumspectfully before the Lord. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Standing, when you have the whole armor of God on, stand, and having stood or still stand. Paul means that when you're through you're in a battle, put the whole armor of God on you. Anoint yourself with the anointing of God and the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. And when that battle's over, keep your armor on, for there's another battle coming. That's what he means by still stand. Keep yourself in the armor of God, standing. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The word sitteth there means a complete. It has to do with the difference of the Aaronic or Levitical priesthood and Jesus' priesthood at the order of Melchizedek. That's a full scope of great teaching for the believer. He's complete. We're in a higher order. We're in the heavenly call. There was an earthly tabernacle and an earthly priesthood and earthly ordinances and earthly leadership. But now in Jesus, we have a heavenly call. Hallelujah. Lift us up into this heavenly atmosphere of glory. And these things, he is all in all. Praise God. So the sitting means complete. And he didn't have to get up and go again to present himself or his blood. But it's complete. We're complete in him. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Underline that if you haven't already. The law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. The word meditate there means to chew the cud, to allow the laws of righteousness. In chapter 19, it brings out that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That's Psalms 19, verse 7 through 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. This is the law. This is the anointing of his words. That Peter said, you alone have the words of eternal life. You alone will release us into the eternal values of the Lord, and our full potential shall come forth when you speak to us. Amen. We're not just going to be followers of someone else. We're going to be full of the full potential that God wants us and he has created us for. And when you have the word of God, that is not enough. Let me say that again. When you know the word of God and when you read the word of God, that is not enough. Many people read the word of God just to argue. We're of Peter. We're of Paul. We're oneness. We're two-ness. We're amillennial. We're the rapture group. We're the faith group. We're the submission groups. Brother, when Joshua went up to Jesus, the captain of the host of the Lord, and Jesus had his sword drawn, I believe it was Jesus, and Joshua said, are you with them or with us? Jesus said, you're not going to label me, boy. Get your feet off, your shoes off, and fall down. You're on holy ground. The ground is holy. And when you release the land to be holy, the captain of the host of the Lord is coming to this earth. I want you to know that if there's anything ever to be revealed at this conference, is that you, and I'll teach on this tomorrow afternoon, I don't want you to miss it, the dominion of the land. Your business will be set free, your loved ones will be healed and saved, the anointing of God will move upon you. It's more than just saying, in the name of Jesus, pass the potatoes. In the name of Jesus, I pull the heavenly butler. It means you present all that is, and our word of faith, of course it means healing, of course it means provision, but your dominion or the authority of the believer, the height of it, the full potential of it, according to Hebrews 2 and Psalms 8, is that we have authority over the earth. We return the earth back to God. And when you release the earth, you'll find the earth will move and break every bondage of the enemy. God couldn't even send them into the Holy Land until the earth was ready for it. This is beautiful. Jesus, the captain of the host of the Lord, said, you're on holy ground. You're not going to label me. I'm not with you. You're with me, buddy. And John said, oh, pardon me. What a provoking development this is. Man, sorry about that, boss. Jesus not always comes with, great, significance and the alarmingness of his divine presence. But, hallelujah. When we recognize him as the captain of the host of the Lord, he gets the job done. See, the Holy Ghost move of God today is the Tower of Babel in reverse. God separated the people at the Tower of Babel by giving them different languages. But when the anointing of the Tower of his name is upon us today, he's bringing us together by giving us one language, which is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He said, you'll no longer say that God lives. In Jeremiah there, fourth chapter, I believe it is, the God lives that brought my people out of Egypt. You'll no longer say that. You'll say the God lives that has brought my people together. Amen. Verse 3, we're beginning to commence to end. Now, my statement was that the Word of God is not enough. It's good to have the Word. It's good to meditate on it. The word meditate means to chew the cud, which means the animal, the cow, at different times during the day, chews the cud. It means the Word of God to go through and assimilate in your system, in your spirit. The cow was a clean animal. It had cloven hoofs. Therefore, on the day of Pentecost, cloven tongues of fire came upon the believer. And that connects us then with Psalms 1 and Acts 2:4. Means when you read the Word of God, the cloven tongues of fire cleanses you, purifies you. Hallelujah. You're clean unto the Lord. He cleans us through the Word, purifies us. Now, verse 3, I have studied this. I said, Lord, what is it? There's something here that he meditates in the Word, but why? And all through the Word of God, it's just like taking a smooth stone and going out here and try it, out here on the water, and throwing that stone across that water and see how many times you can get it to skip. That's what God does with his truth through the Word of God. He just skips truth. And it just skips over into the Word of God in the Old Testament, dips down several times in the Pentateuch and Psalms and the minor prophets and major prophets and into the New Testament, the epistles. And it's beautiful how the truth of God just dips down. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Please circle the word tree. Put down Isaiah 61, verse 3. You're the planting of the Lord. And all through the Word of God, we are the trees of righteousness. We bear fruit. It also says in Genesis 49 that Joseph was a fruitful bough, a fruitful tree. He was planted by a well. And his limb went over the wall. That means he went out from his dwelling area. And his limb reached out and he sent fruit over the wall. He sent fruit out from his little area. Hallelujah. out from the church. We're reaching out. We're setting people free. Know how God's moving. We're going to see one of the greatest harvests in our day. People are going to have to stop by the highway and get out and repent. They're going to have to stop in the beer halls and repent. The glory of God's going to be so strong, we're going to see one of the greatest harvests we've ever seen. Amen. It's at hand. I thank God for that. Let's clap creatively. It's done. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God, it's done. Let the authority of the Lord be upon us. Praise the Lord. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And the correct, if I could just say it, the Hebrew exegesis means the analysis here and study of the Hebrew language. It means that the person who walks in love, who stands with the whole armor of God, who sits with Christ in heavenly places, who has the Word of God flowing through him continually, is the man that is still not fully equipped, but God takes him and plants him where many rivers come by his way and his life, and where, in the Hebrew there, it means you're right at the hub of many rivers that come your way, and God plants you in the soft, moist ground of lives that he brings by your way and circumstances that come by your way, so that you can glean the best from those lives. There are rivers unto you. That's why Jesus said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. When you receive the Holy Ghost, the rivers come forth, and you encourage someone to come into their season. Hallelujah. That's what he means by discerning the body of Christ. That's what he means by eating. The zeal of the house of the Lord hath eaten me up. That means when you come forth in the anointings of God and the Holy Ghost moves through you, you're a river unto somebody. Hallelujah. Any of you have had people come by your way? I remember those who have been a river unto me. Some of them seemed like a dry gulch. They brought me into my season. Amen. Some of them about washed me out. I'm not saying they were all positive. I'm saying the Lord allowed them to come by my way. Amen. So I'd have deep roots. He put me where many rivers, many lives came together. Some of the most positive ones is Mother Meeks. Mom Meeks was our dorm mother in Life Bible School. Had thick glasses, couldn't hardly see. But oh, what a beautiful encouragement it was in times when we needed just a little encouragement. Mom Meeks would be there. Mary and I were married, and I had to work at Nabisco, and the swing shift. Got home about 1 in the morning. My wife would be a little lonely. I was 19, she's 18 when we married. And Mom Meeks would have Mary Ann come in. We lived there in the dormitory, the boys' dorm. We was in the back there. Mom Meeks would buy this apartment, and she'd bring in, and they'd have tea and toast till I'd get home. My wife never forgets that. Just kept us. Praise God. It wasn't somebody that laid hands on us to prophesy, although that's encouraging. But just somebody that gave us a little hot tea now and then and toast. You're a river to somebody. Amen? And that's why the zeal of the house of the Lord eats us up. And there's circumstances you're in tonight that you're just soon, they dry up. But they're a river under you if you'll just leave them to God. And say, now, Lord, you work this out in your timing, in your purpose. But oh, everybody that comes by. You know, when this, I'd be going along some areas, and I'd be traveling a few years ago when the submission thing was at its height. And who are you submitted to? I'd get off the plane, I'd be asked that almost a couple of times. This happened a little more, but is there, and they want me to name some very well-known person I was submitted to. And I asked the Lord, I said, well, Lord, I'm submitted to you, but that they just grin at that. The Lord said, you tell them you're submitted under, you're covered by Mother Assurance. Mom Assurance was a travailer in prayer in California. She could call up and tell my wife exactly what we were going through with. She'd call and say, Brother Chuck, I've been praying for you. this is what the Lord's telling me, and should be right on. It was God-given, amen. It was an encouragement. She was a river. Not that we have to respond to everybody's whim, but it was just a thrill to me to have someone pray for me, amen. Someone, and as we move into this area, even though we have the Word, you respect those that God's put around you, because maturity doesn't come through the Word. It comes through the Word and your respect of the body. Amen. Because the body will get you ready to be in the army. Hallelujah. We're all here to be a therapy to one another. And so this is why the disciples, when he cleansed, and then when Jeremiah come along and said that when you stand before the Lord, you'll be the mouth of the Lord. And not only the mouth, but you will separate the precious from the vile. Here again, the Word of God is emphasized. I'm back to Jeremiah 15, verse 19 to 21. I'll just summarize it briefly. He said, when you can separate the precious from the vile, anything vile means that doubts God's Word, be firm in the Word, but also know that you're a fenced, brazen wall. Brother Dow from San Diego told me a fence brazen wall means we're the judgment of God to everyone we meet. As we go in the anointing of God, they will never be the same. We're the pivot point. And this is what judgment means when it begins at the house of God. God means that He is not only going to equip His people and cleanse and purify us, but He's going to make us so powerful in our testimony that wherever we go, everyone we witness to, we'll pull them as brands out of the burning, and they're going to be set free by the power of God. We're the pivot point. And that's what the Apostle Paul meant when he says, we're life and the life and death and the death. Those that receive the Savior, we're life and the life. Those that reject Him, that's up to them, but we have the power and the authority to be that pivot point of their life. We're the fence, praise the Lord. The zeal of the house of the Lord hath eaten me up. When the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow through you, we will partake of each other and be strong. Hallelujah. This, hallelujah, is a tremendous plant. I've planted you by the rivers of many waters, and therefore your leaf will not wither. The word leaf goes in with Jeremiah 1, where he speaks of the almond tree. Your leaf means the creative revelations, the freshness of God. You will not be drab in your testimony. You'll not be casual. Your testimony, some think, well, oh, that first love was so good when we first knew the Lord, and now we're sort of settled. No, your leaf's not going to wither. In the last days, the days you and I are living in, our leaf shall be more vital. You're going to learn more ways of victory, more ways of the Lord Jesus Christ and His anointing. Your leaf will not wither. Your ministry will take on new depths and higher heights of glory. The Word of God will become so refreshing. Hallelujah. In your life, your leaf will not wither. This is the authority of Aaron's rod. It means when others try to oppose it, your leaf, hallelujah, will be strong. And His rod came forth with the leaves and with the fruit and with the blossoms. That means your life will move in the gifts and the anointings of the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And everyone you meet shall eat thereof and be glad. The zeal of the house of the Lord hath eaten me up. That means the authority of God's Word in you, releasing the vocalizing of the power of the blood. You speak better things than that of Abel. And when you speak, the whole earth will be shook up according to the Word. And everything's being shaken, but we will stand in the rock, Christ Jesus. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We appreciate that anointing of Thy truth. We bless each other. We thank You, Lord, for this conference that's already here. We praise You for the excitement, and those that have traveled this day, we thank You, Lord, that You'll just move upon them with a refreshing. We ask all weariness to leave, and may the revelation of the Lord be strong. Touch the pastors and ministers that are here. Refresh us all as we teach and as we enjoy praising. May we all receive such a beautiful enlightenment of the Word of God. We just praise you. Now, Father, let those rivers that you brought by our way, let them be a blessing and strength to us to bring us into our season and our fruits. And we give you the praise in Jesus' marvelous name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm a new creation. Well, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Amen. It's a little hard for you to get my tea right now. Thank you very much. Relax. Okay, this brother over here on the end, would you stand up and your wife there? Hallelujah. Join hands with each other. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. My son, the authority of the Lord is upon thee, and that which I spoke to you 3 days ago, the Lord's going to break that barrier. I'm going to cause the anointing of God to go before you and cause the wrath of men to come forth in victory. And therefore, my joy is upon thee, my daughter, the authority of the vision that was given thee, yea, 3 months ago, shall surely come to pass. For the anointing of my truth within thee, yea, you will speak my word, and those of your family shall rejoice, for the word shall not return void. For you've taken this step of faith, and I will provide for thee. For my joy is hovered over thee, my mantle, yea, is with thee. For truly a double portion of my fruitfulness is yours, and thou shalt surely be raised up for this hour. I say unto thee, I am writing upon your heart fresh poetic zeal, and the joy of my strength shall write the poem of the Lord. For Zion's hill is thy reward, and I'll lift you in to that pavilion of my heart, and you shall speak from the authority of the Lord. And do not, yea, look to the right or to the left, for I have this transitional period before thee, that I'm raising you in to a higher height than that fresh dimension of joy. For you're set free to flow with me, and my peace shall be around thy dwelling. And therefore prepare your heart, for the Lord is lifting you into, yea, his peace and his pavilion. And you shall go forth and conquer. So it's an altogether fresh ministry, but it's a peaceful flow of my jurisdiction. I've sealed it upon thee, thou art healed and strengthened. And through, yea, the head areas and those things of the nervous system, my daughter, you're healed by my stripes, and my authority is within you. And therefore, yea, my son, be yea diligently in praise and victory, for I kept you safe, and my authority is upon you, and my glory shall cover thee well. And through your digestive system also, the Lord has healed and strengthened you, and set you free, and you'll be able now to be a therapy to others, and my power shall go before you, and you will rejoice in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Yes, the Lord is good. He has certainly brought us unto himself. Amen. In this power of the Lord. All right, just a couple here. Would you folks stand and join hands together? Once you come out here, I'd like to lay my hands on you, especially my brother. Just join hands there. Praise God. I want to touch you. Praise the Lord. For yea, my peace has surrounded thee, my son, and know thou not the strength of the Lord is settled upon you. And yea, many others, yea, will complete and perform this word. And therefore I say unto thee, do not fear, for the Lord is lifting you into his hand. I've covered thee, yea, with the hull of my hand. And yea, as I said unto Moses, yea, you will see. And the glory of the Lord shall encamp around about you. And the angels of our God will protect you and yours. And those things that are upon your heart, I will take care of them. so that you can rest in me and know my power and know that the burden upon your heart is also met. Through your body, you're healed and strengthened, praise God, and you will relax and rest and enjoy the blessing that I've given. Now, this decision and that which is legally in a little bit of entanglement, I have lifted it off of you, and you will rejoice in it. Praise God. My daughter, know that the authority of life through thee, yea, has been said and given, and thou hast presented thyself, yea, to the higher echelon, and the courts of glory has released, yea, these that you've lifted into my hand, and thou shalt not waver, but you'll be strong, and my authority over thee, yea, shall come forth. And I loose thee this night. The gift of my power will flow through thee, and thou shalt set many free. Because you've come desiring, therefore you're loose in my peace and my glory and my authority. Yea, shall teach you daily. You shall be equipped, and you shall return in the power of my spirit. And many things shall be a blessing unto my people, because I will speak to thee, and thou shalt sow the seed, and you'll reap the fruit thereof. Amen. God bless you both. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord bless you. Father, we praise you. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your peace. We just love you, Lord. We praise you for this family. We just thank you for it. Handala kore ba sukori handala bo handala ba handa. Heed of the kibishori alavaranda. Hallelujah. Let's just refresh ourselves in the Holy Ghost. Handala varianda to praise. We love you, Jesus. We bless your name. Amen. Just take your wife's hand now. I want to seal and to agree with you guys. The yoke is broken by the anointing of our God. And that means that in 1 Peter 3:7, you're heirs together the graces of life, and therefore your prayers are not hindered. Now, therefore, the graces of life, you're not going to be robbed of them, but you'll know the power and the perfection of His way. And you guys have been talking over something, you're going to ask largely. And God is opening that door, and no man will shut it. Praise God. I've set you free, my son, to flow in the authority of my word. And therefore you have come believing, and you'll know that the word of the Lord hath dwelt in thee richly. For I've moved upon you as I have woven your hearts together. Yea, I love thee, and I will take pleasure in thee. And thy home, yea, shall receive mine anointing of peace and glory. Did not I call you? Yea, when around 12 years of age, my anointing has been upon thee in the release of my gifts and the release of my authority. For you're the crown of your husband, and you shall compliment him with peace and glory. And therefore I have loosed you this night, and my word, yea, the veil is off the word, and the word will be understood, and your heart shall be strong, and therefore you will know my peace and my joy. Rise up and be strong for a fresh dimension of life, and you'll contribute much. Your great joy, and others shall know your home is a magnet of joy, and you'll be set free to minister these things, and others you will know that the Lord is spoken, and favor has been given, and great prosperity. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for this, and the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. You've been really just something. God's going to go before you, and praise God. By the middle of July, it's around the end of this month, the next month here, July, the Lord is just giving you a new just level or a fresh opening, and no man will shut it. And the Lord will definitely lead, and you'll know that He is intervening in a beautiful way. Praise God. Lord bless you guys. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.